right, everyone. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church this Wednesday evening. For our first song, we will be turning to song number 205, He Keeps Me Singing. Song number 205. On the first, there's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the second, all my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the third, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Singing as I go. On the fourth, though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Right, at this time, we will have the announcements. All right, well, good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. We'll go through these announcements, and then we're going to do the prayer list. So, weekly church service time, Sunday mornings are at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. 208-391-5323 is the number to call if you have questions about that. Next page, this coming weekend, we have the King James Bible Conference over in Vancouver, Washington at Sure Foundation Baptist Church. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's see here. Verse of the week is Romans 16:17, which says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." We are a family-integrated church, and what that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reasons. So dads can use this room to the left. Moms, your room is right next to that. Let's see here. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And we finally have communication cards. So there's some over here at the entryway table and right next to the box in the very back. So if you have a prayer request or you just want something to change, just write it down, whatever you want, and put it in that box back there. And it'll eventually get to me or on this list here. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through this prayer list. And then we will have our next song. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for these things. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for allowing us to be able to gather here and to be able to fellowship and to be able to worship you in spirit and truth. We just pray that you would continue to provide opportunities for us to get people saved that are in our every single day life. I want to pray for more interest in our community, to for people to be and want to be discipled and trained to give gospel. And we want to pray for like-minded churches for their protection and for prosperity and success out soul winning. And we also want to pray for the King James Bible Conference this weekend. Lord, we just pray that the evil plot that has been advertised to us, Lord, would be spoiled. We just pray that you would protect us during that time. And we want to pray for wicked leaders in our federal, local governments to be exposed. And Brother Skulk has a prayer request for continued workplace safety and for his parents' safety as they gear to travel to the U.S. at some point this year. And, of course, we want to pray for Miss Maribel, who is with child. Pray for a healthy and safe delivery, for everything to go smooth with that. And we have several online prayer requests that came in. We want to pray for Brother Joe Maples for his continued health and well-being for him and his entire family. I want to pray for Brother John, who moved to San Francisco recently, to continue to get help as he needs to be settled in where he moved. And we want to pray for Brother Evan and his family as they travel back to the United States. We want to pray for Michelle Arrowood for her unspoken. We also want to pray for her improved health and that would just continue to get better and better. And want to pray for Brother Sean over in Burns, Oregon. He has an unspoken prayer request. And Lord, we just know that you know what that is and pray that you would help him in that situation. And we have a prayer request from Annette. And we just pray for her health and her financial well-being. And she has several people that are close to her, Lord, that she desires an opportunity to preach the gospel to. We just pray that you would make that happen. And she also has a request for a relationship to be restored with her extended family. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would work in that and help her out. We want to pray for Brother Jeff Hume. He's having knee surgery on the 1st, Lord, and we just pray that that goes well and that his healing would be better than expected. We also have a prayer request for Brandon. His dad is displaying the beginning signs of Alzheimer's, and we just pray, Lord, that you would provide an opportunity for his father to get saved before that fully sets in. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. And so we have one praise, that came in. So Michelle Arrowood has had a pretty bad relapse with her MS, and this week she reported that she's almost back to normal, like 75%. So that is a praise. So we're thankful to God for that. And so with that being said, we're going to have one more song before we get to the sermon.
All right, everyone. For our second song this evening, we will be turning to song number 174. My Jesus, I Love Thee. Song number 174. On the 1st. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, Jesus, 'tis now. On the 3rd, I love. everyone would, please turn to the Book of John, chapter number 3.
All right. Well, good evening again. John chapter number 3. So tonight we're going to basically study an answer to a statement, which is sometimes sent to us as a question. But the statement I recently saw on a hat that somebody was wearing, my wife showed it to me, and it's the probably one of the bigger statements that gets emailed or texted or called in to the church and churches like ours to basically say that we're wrong on who and who cannot be saved. And the statement is this. So this hat that we saw where this person was wearing, it says, "My Jesus." Okay. And then right underneath it, it says, "Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Ain't no sinner that he can't save." And we're going to break that down tonight, and I'm going to give you some responses and show you what the Bible actually says about that statement, okay? And now, you hear a statement like that, if you're not well-versed in the Bible or maybe you've never been hit with that before, it sounds good. And to disagree with that, it almost can seem like you're devaluing what Christ did on the cross, okay? But I can assure you that is not the case. And now, for the title of the sermon is actually the tool that we're going to go over that I learned probably 20 years ago, okay? And understanding this tool is not only going to help you with this question, but it's also going to help you in your everyday soul winning, okay? And the title of the sermon is this, Seven Principal Negatives. Seven Principal Negatives. And by negatives, I mean, these are all things. We're going to look at about seven different passages. And in these passages, you're going to find, and we're going to talk about it, seven principal negatives, or things that Jesus said would not occur, okay? And I really think, I mean, you take one day a week to learn all seven of these, or just to make sure that you have these in a place where you can get them. And I really think it's just going to be very powerful for you in your conversations with other people, and if you ever need it out souling. Now, obviously, when we're out souling, we all have our plans, and we go through those things. But sometimes you need extra tools. Okay, and when you need it, you need it, and you're glad you had it. And so if you pay attention, we're going to go through these, and then we're going to come back and answer this statement here that says, ain't no sinner that he can't save. We're going to see how accurate that is and really what that means, okay? Because it does mean something, and it does fit into the Bible, but not in the way that they think. So we're going to start out here in John chapter 3, and we're going to look at the very first negative, okay? Look at verse number 15. Verse number 15, it says this, that whosoever, okay, now pay attention to that word there and keep it in your mind this evening, whosoever, okay, that whosoever believeth in him, and here's the first negative that I want you to pay attention to, should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, so according to the Lord right there, he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, meaning they will never die. A person who is a child of God who possesses eternal life will not perish in the lake of fire, will not enter into hell. Okay, now how some people read this is they read it like this, that anyone always has the opportunity to believe in him, and you can see where that's going there. But again, you know, very cut and dry, very clear, and you can see that negative there, okay? Should not perish. Now, what is the requirement, according to this verse, to never perish? Believeth in him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. No works mentioned, nothing that you have to do or continue to do, but trusting in what has been done. Okay, that is the key. What has been done? And of course, we understand that that is the sacrifice on the cross. So the first principal negative is John 3:15. Christ says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. but have eternal life. Eternal means everlasting. It means forever. When do you get that? When does a person get that? At the end of their life? No, the moment a person believes, the moment a person gets baptized or placed into the body of Christ from calling upon the name of the Lord. So number one of the first seven principal negatives is John chapter 3 in verse number 15. Now go over to chapter number 4 and we'll move on to the second one. John chapter number 4. So this is just going to continue through John, okay? And we're going to get to chapter 11. That's where the seventh one is going to be. And then we're going to come back to this statement and talk about how to apply this in chapter number 12. So let's move on here. Number 2, statement number 2 is going to begin in verse number 13. So this is, of course, the conversation that Jesus is having with the woman at the well who was of Samaria. Verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Okay, again, notice that word, whosoever. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, and here's number 2, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Very easy to understand. You know, by the time that you're done with all seven of these, okay, it should blow your mind how you could communicate this to somebody. Because remember, number 7 is the number of completeness. It's going to blow your mind how you could give somebody these 7 statements from the Lord Jesus Christ and them still turn around and say, but there's something you must do. You have to add to that. It's absolutely insane. Okay? But also, what you need to understand is because of these 7 principal negatives, and because people lack understanding, they will use these to just basically say, well, anyone can be saved at any time, no matter what they have done. It doesn't matter if they're a pedophile. It doesn't matter if they are a child of the devil, and they'll misapply these things, okay? And so we have to have a deeper understanding of these very basic things in order to help people out of that web and snare that is just so prevalent out there. So again, number 2, look at verse 14 again. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Okay, what does that mean? Well, once you're saved, once you're born again, you will not thirst for everlasting life because you have that. Okay. Now, if you're on probation, you know, if you're part of the human achievement religion, then of course you're going to constantly be thirsting because you're working your way to heaven. You don't have everlasting life. You don't have that assurance. And so the Lord says, no, my children, my people, when they get saved, shall never thirst. Never. The words of Christ. So number 2, remember, principle number 1, the very first negative was that Jesus said, should not perish. Whosoever believes will not perish. Number 2, they will never thirst, okay? Pointing to once saved, always saved. Now let's move on to number 3 in John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. So these pretty much go into order. We skip chapter 7 and chapter 9, but for the most part, these should be easy to find. You can hopefully mark them in your Bible and be able to come back to these things. Sometimes I just think it's easier to give people a tool like this and say, hey, have you ever heard of these 7 negatives? You know, and it gets people to think. It gets people to consider, okay? Number 3, let's take a look at verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says this, verily, verily. Okay, what does that mean? Let's just stop right there. Okay, that means truly. He emphasizes that word twice because what he's telling you is very, very important. So he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Present tense, hath and hath and hath, forever. And here's number 3, the third negative, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Okay? So look, we're only on the third one, and it's like, how far is this going to go? Like, how could you explain this to somebody and them still question it, still think, wow, like no, there's, but I just feel like I still have to turn from my sins. I feel like there's something else that I have to do. But it is very clear that a person who believes on Christ shall not come into condemnation. But that person is, present tense, is passed from what? From death unto life. And of course, we know that life is everlasting life, okay? So number three, very clear, shall not come into condemnation. Now look over at chapter number six, and we'll move on to the fourth one. The fourth of seven principal negatives. Now, again, I learned these several years ago from a pastor, and you know, from time to time I'll fall back on these. I was kind of going through some of my notes from back in the day, and I was like, you know, I need to talk about that. It's definitely a good tool, because look, there are some people out here where I've needed to spend all seven of these, like multiple times with, before they will get and understand the truth of the gospel. Okay, John chapter number 6, look at verse number 35. And here is the fourth negative. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, here it is, number 4, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So again, backing up what we read in chapter number 4. Okay, a person who is saved, never hunger. Okay, now obviously we should hunger for the Word of God, and we should have that that urge inside of us. But it's very clear here, you are not going to have that curiosity, that wonder, that anxiety that comes from people that are in these other religions that are just like, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I've done enough. Hopefully we'll find out in the end. Only God can judge. No one can know. Okay, you're not going to have any of that, because a child of God doesn't have to hunger. He's been fed the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice. And this here is a negative. Okay. Now, obviously I keep saying negative. I'm not meaning negative like this is bad. No, this is negative, but good for us. Okay, good for us, but bad for the people in the religion of human achievement. So again, one more time, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And of course, this is meant to be taken spiritually, not saying that you're never going to crave a cheeseburger or something of that nature. Okay, go over to John chapter number 8, and we'll look at number 5. John chapter 8, look at verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse number 12 says this, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And we're going to talk about that in John chapter 12 here in a little bit. So he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, and here it is, the fifth negative, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. A person who is saved will not walk in darkness. You will not go through life wondering constantly, will you make it to heaven? Because the promise is crystal clear. You have the light of life, and that is Christ. That is His Word as well. And of course, that is what we are supposed to live our lives by and go by, so that we can navigate through this dark world. But again, the fifth negative in the Gospel of John is this, that we shall not walk in darkness. Okay, now let's go over to John chapter number 10 for number 6. John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse number 27. Now, these might be part of most of your gospel presentations. Let's look at verse number 27. Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Okay, that is what Christ gives. He gives eternal life. He does not give conditional life. And here it is, the sixth negative in the Gospels. Remember, these are chief things. These are very principal. These are things that we should be able to recall when needed. And I give unto them eternal life. Verse 28, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Where have we heard that before? Well, it goes back to the very first negative in John chapter 3. Okay? He gives us eternal life. And the Bible says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay, one of the ways we explain this out giving the gospel to people is we basically, when my kids were little, what I would do is I would grab them. And I'd say, okay, try to get away. And they couldn't get away because I'm stronger than them. And I would equate that to us being in the hand of God. And we're not stronger than God. And therefore, no one can take us from God, nor could we even work our own ways out of his hand. And people always seem to get it. Okay, now I can't do that with Caden, and these girls are crazy, so they get a little feisty. But if, you have the small children around, or you could just explain it like that, and they'll definitely understand. So very powerful verses, okay? Very powerful verses. An extremely powerful promise here. Gives us eternal life, and the Bible says they shall never perish, ever. Okay, neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand, it says. Look at verse 29. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. Okay? And so there you have it, the sixth principle negative in the gospel. Now let's look at number 7. Go over to chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Look at verse number 25. So, of course, this is Jesus' conversation with Martha here. And he says, verse 25, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And here's number 7, verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, what does that say? Shall never die. And notice what Jesus says after that. Believest thou this? Okay, now why would he say that? Because a person needs to believe the fact that it's once saved, always saved. They need to understand the gift that they're receiving, which is eternal life. Life that lasts forever. Okay, if they don't understand that, then how can we say that they are saved? So the seventh negative here is what? It is, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Okay? I love this one. I use this one all the time out soul winning because it's very clear. Whosoever liveth, whosoever's alive, who's breathing, who's walking around on this earth, who's on this earth, okay, who is alive in the here and now with this flesh, with the old man, but believes, shall never die. Okay? And that, and you could go on and on and on about this for just a long time and start talking about how when believers' bodies shut down and they go into the grave, the Bible refers to us as just being asleep. Why is that? Because a believer can never die, never perish. That is why. That is great news. That is excellent news. Now, that right there is what my pastor 20 years ago had taught me, and I wrote these things down. I don't use them all the time, but I'll tell you what. If you need like 7 just straight points in a row, in the Gospels, right? Don't we typically tell people to start reading in the Gospel of John? You need a reinforcement. This tool is very powerful, okay? Very easy to explain and just highlight these negatives, okay? Never perish, never thirst, never walk in darkness. Just over and over and over again. Now, here's the thing. You give them these 7 things. You've given them your Gospel presentation. If they don't get it at that point, it's time to walk away, okay? You're probably done because it just doesn't get more clear than that. If they're not going to hear these 7 things, put them on the prayer list. Try again another day. Now, go one more chapter over, John chapter number 12. So I think it's important just to give that tool just because, again, I think it's powerful. I think it's useful to you. But also because of these types of verses, this is so crazy, okay? People will use these verses on us and say, I don't like your position and what you say about this crowd of people. I don't like what you say about the pedophiles. I don't like what you say about, and this comes in all the time, okay? And I'll sometimes ask them, what do you think a person has to do to be saved? And they'll repeat what they've been told. They'll say, well, you have to believe, you have to get born again. It's like, okay. Well, so you're saying that all a pedophile has to do is just believe, right? I'm like, well, no, he has to stop and turn from that. And then Jesus can save him.
Okay, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten somebody like that. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, then you don't really believe the Bible. Because the Bible says that works aren't part of salvation. And so, well, you're twisting scripture. It's like, no. Why is it free for you, but they have to do some sort of works? That doesn't make any sense. And so the problem is they just don't believe the Bible. They themselves oftentimes either don't know the Bible, don't know how to get saved. It's just something that sounds cool. Ain't no sinner, Jesus can't save, is what they will say. Now, what I'm telling you, this ought to be your first response, okay? How does he save them? How does he save them? Because the reason why they're saying this, the reason why this is a hat, the reason why this is a shirt, a bumper sticker, the reason why this is in our inbox every single day is because they are attacking the fact that we believe in something called the reprobate doctrine. We believe that there are people on this earth right now, always have been, that have reached a point to where they can no longer be saved. That is not a secret. Everyone who knows anything about our church, our friend's church, that is probably one of the bigger things that they have an issue with, okay? So, since we're going through the seven principal negatives, and they like to twist these things and say, well, that applies to just everyone. Whosoever means whosoever at any given moment, as long as they're breathing, okay? What does the Bible say about that, okay? So when someone says this to me, I often will say, how does he save them? Okay, let's get that straight. Are you saved? Because if you're not saved, the chances of you understanding doctrine are zero. Okay, but let's go through this here. Let's try to break this down. Okay, how does he save them? John chapter 12, and I want you to keep something here because we're going to start to turn to some other passages, but we're going to finish for the most part in John chapter 12 tonight. But let's look down at verse number 44. John chapter 12, verse 44, look at what this says. So again, John 12, Jesus speaking to a mixed group here. You've got people in darkness, you have people in light, and then you have people in between. They're just, they're in darkness in the fact that they just don't know they're saved. They're hanging in the balances. And he is getting some of these people saved. But look at verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now here's verse 47, okay? And this is where we're going to learn our response to this statement. Verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Okay, now it's easy for these types of people that are wearing this hat, wearing this t-shirt, to quote this verse to you. But do you know what it means? Do you really understand how to break this down? What does it mean? Does this mean that everyone goes to heaven? Does this mean that everyone at any point in their life can be saved? Or does it mean something else? Let's take a look. But before we answer that, we need to backtrack a bit. Go to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. So Jesus very clearly says, hey, you know, if you hear my words and you don't believe, I didn't come to judge you for that. I came to save the world. Okay? Jesus said himself, he came to save the world. Save us from what? The entire world? Just Christians? What does this mean? Who does this apply to? We're going to answer all that right now. Romans chapter 3, let's start off, first of all, with the main problem, okay? The main problem since the Garden of Eden, since the fall of man, begins right here, Romans 3, verse number 9. So Paul says this. He says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Skip down to verse number 23. Very clearly, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, this is no secret to anyone in here. We understand that sin is in the world, that we are all sinners. Okay, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. OK, Okay, this is where we're going to start to be able to explain what we just read in John 12, verse 47. What does it mean that Jesus came to save the world? Did he actually accomplish that? Do you know the answer? Verse 25 again, Romans 3, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That word there means satisfaction. That is what that means. Okay, so the Bible is saying here, Paul is telling the Romans, he's saying that God sent him, sent Christ, sent Jesus to be a propitiation or a satisfaction through what? Through your own works? Through your own deeds? No, through faith or trust, through faith in his blood, meaning his sacrifice, to declare his righteousness for the what? The remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So according to this verse, you break this down here, Jesus is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction through faith in his blood, okay? And because of that, we are to declare his righteousness because according to verse 10, there's none righteous, but we need to be righteous to get to heaven, okay? So we declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, okay? This is very important here. Remission means cancellation. We often use this word today in medical circles and talking about cancer. Okay, and the reason why I don't like to bring that up too much is because sometimes people say, yeah, but if cancer goes into remission, it can come back. Okay, this is a different meaning here. This means a once and done. Remitted, the sins are canceled forever. Look what it says, remission of sins that are past. Okay, all sins past. Why? Because Jesus is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction for all of those. And it even says after the comma there, through the forbearance of God. Okay, now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. This will all make sense here in a minute. I'm going to bring this right back to John chapter 12. Because honestly, when people say this, and you know, you ever see somebody wearing this hat or they come at you with this, ain't no sinner that Jesus can't save, that statement's true. Okay, and I'm going to show you how it's true. And hopefully you're starting to see this, but if not, it'll make sense to you. That is true, okay? But maybe not in the way you think. 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul says this, to wit, that God was in Christ. So who was in Christ? God. Okay? The God of heaven and earth, God was in Christ, reconciling, what does that say? The world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So what is this verse saying here? It's backing up what we just read in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Okay, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world. What does that mean? That means that through Christ's sacrifice, remember, the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, meaning his sacrifice went back to eternity past, all the way to eternity future, and how that works. What this is saying is that he reconciled the world. He saved the world. He fulfilled what he said in John chapter 12, verse 47. You say, how? By not imputing their trespasses unto them. Because his sacrifice paid the sin debt of the entire world, therefore he did save the world. He saved the world of what though? He saved the world of the sin debt. That debt has been paid. And because that debt has been paid, the only thing left for a person to do is to accept the free gift. And that's where people drop the ball, okay? Accept the free gift. That word imputing there, okay? Imputation, what does that mean? That means to charge. God is not charging sin to the world right now because his son died on the cross and paid the sin debt. He paid the price. He is the propitiation. He's the satisfaction for the sin debt of the entire world. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And let's look at verse number 1. 1 John chapter number 2, John says this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Remember, you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, you're in the body of Christ. We have an advocate, okay? And of course, we all sin. John's saying, hey, don't sin. Why? Because for the believer, Okay? Our sin affects our fellowship. That's the need, and that's why we're to ask God for forgiveness on a daily basis, because we want our fellowship restored. Okay? Now, on the world's end, that's different. They're not saved. They don't have that fellowship. However, he did save them in the sense that he paid the sin debt of the entire world. He's the satisfaction. Okay? And I use this out all the time, and I've mentioned this here several times. You know, it's like this. You go to the grocery store. Let's say you're standing in line behind someone and you pay for that person's groceries. Let's say they came up short. Let's say their bill was $100. They had $50. You said, you know what? I've got it. I paid for it. No big deal. Okay. Now what happens a couple hours later if that person whom you paid for their groceries came back into the teller and said, hey, I would like to pay my debt. That was a very nice thing that that man did for me, but I'd like to pay it. They're going to tell you to leave, because it's already been paid. Okay, and that's exactly what the world is doing today. They're trying to pay for something that has already been paid for. It's impossible. It cannot be done. Hence, the need to understand the seven principal negatives to hammer that point home, that Jesus is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction. Now, look at verse number 2, 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. And he is, and there's that big word again, the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay, you see that there? He didn't just die for the Christian. He died to pay the sin debt for the entire world to make salvation a free gift. And this has always covered humanity. Old Testament, New Testament, millennium, doesn't matter. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is to go back to John chapter number 12. And let's talk about this question again, or this statement. My Jesus ain't no sinner, Jesus can't save. What you could say is, well, amen. And you could quote to them John chapter number 12 in verse number 47 and say, that's right. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And then you could explain to them what that means. He saved the world. He saved sinners from the sin debt. But that doesn't mean, okay, let's put it like this. He saved everyone from their sin debt. He never said everyone is always eligible. He saved everyone from their sin debt. He never said everyone is always eligible. And let's take a look at that. Since we happen to be here in John chapter number 12, let's jump over to verse number 35. Remember the three groups of people. You have people that are of the child of the devil, you have people that are saved, and then you have people hanging in the balances. And look at what Jesus says in verse 35. Remember the statement. He saved everyone from their sin debt. He never said everyone is always eligible. Look at verse 35 if you don't believe me. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness know not whither he goeth. Now, in some sense, he is saying that he's about to depart from earth. He's about to die on the cross and to obviously be the resurrection. He's already stated in chapter 11 that he is the resurrection. But he's also stating a principle here, okay? And he's telling these people, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light. Meaning, not everyone always has the light, but every person on this planet has an opportunity and at some point has the light. And Jesus is saying, hey, you know, today is the day of salvation, and you need to understand that this may not always be with you. It could be taken from you. Look what he says. Walk while you have the light. Walk through that door of faith is what he means. Walk while you have the light, lest what? Darkness come upon you. So that means that it is possible for darkness to come on people on this earth. And he says, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Okay? Just come knock some doors with us and you will see people in this category here. Look at verse 36. While ye have the light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of the light. So what he's trying to tell us here is, hey, you know, this light may not always be present for you to believe in. Something could happen that changes that. And to make matters worse, let's keep reading. Verse 36, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. What does that mean? He's just reinforcing what he just said. Walk while you have light. Make the decision now because you may not be able to tomorrow. Verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Why is that? Why is it that this group of people did not believe? They had the light, they saw the miracles, they heard the word of God. Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 39, this gets them all. This smashes that hat, this destroys everything. Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, verse 40, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and here it is, and be converted, and I should heal them. Okay, so before Jesus departs from this group of people that he's talking to, he tells them, hey, you better walk while you have light. You better make up your mind today, because tomorrow there are no guarantees. And then the next thing you know, we're reading about a group of people whom God hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts on this earth, on this planet, and in real time. And they could not be converted. And because of this teaching, here's why you would never catch me wearing that hat. Because this is my Jesus. This is the Word of God. This is your Jesus. This is the Jesus of the Bible who says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, nor be converted, and I should heal them. Okay, verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now, look at verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Okay, so we're just going to stop right there. But understand this here. You know, some people in here did get saved, but those who saw the miracles, heard the preaching, they rejected it and rejected it. And finally, the Bible just tells you, okay, God hardened their hearts and they could not believe, they could not be converted. And that is forever. Okay, back to 35 real quick. One more time. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Okay, and he is alluding to this group of people here who had the opportunity and that was taken from them. Not because God's a Calvinist, but simply because they darkened their hearts first. They chose to reject. They chose to push away. And God said, I'm going to cement this deal then right now and you will never be able to be saved. So the question is this taught anywhere else in the epistles? Because that's what some dispensation guys will say. Well, is this in the Pauline epistles? Well, let's take a look. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And let's see if there's a group of people that we're warned about in the Bible that fits this bill here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're getting close to being done. So again, I want to emphasize the statement here. He saved everyone from their sin debt. He never said everyone is always eligible. John chapter 12 puts that to bed. It puts that to rest. And that is something that we all need to be aware of. So let's take a look at this here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And of course, this starts out talking about how the end times are perilous, people lovers of their own selves, truce breakers, traitors, all of these different things. Okay, let's take a look here. Verse number 5. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led with diverse lusts. That would definitely fit those Pharisees and those Sadducees and those scribes that are mentioned there in John chapter number 12. Did they not have a form of godliness? Did they not have the long flowy robes and go to the synagogue and, you know, talk religiously? Of course. Well, guess what? We have those same types of people today. Now look at verse number 7 about this same type of personality here. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, why do you think there are so many different Bible colleges today? And then after people graduate those Bible colleges and those theological schools, you know, they stand up in front of their pulpits and they say things like, well, in the originals, and well, you know, this was dug up and the Dead Sea Scroll says this. They're always learning, but they don't ever have any truth. Let's take a look at this. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these. So these types of people here. So do these also resist the truth, right? Just like we saw in John 12. Okay, they saw the miracles, they heard the word, but they resisted. Okay, remember, this is the Pauline epistle, New Testament. Okay, New Testament time frame. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, and look at this very next word. Boy, this triggers a lot of people. Reprobate concerning the faith. It's not saying they're all Romans 1 sodomites. It's just saying that these types of people are rejected concerning the faith. And that's the same thing you find in John chapter 12 with those religious leaders who resisted the truth. And God said, I'm going to harden your heart and blind your eyes so that you cannot see and be converted. These people exist, which is why this statement is so stupid. I don't like the way this is worded. Ain't no sinner Jesus can't save. But at least now, hopefully, we have a clear answer to that. And we could say, you're right in this sense. He saved everyone from their sin debt. He never said that everyone is always eligible. That is a lie. That is not true. And because we understand that, and because fundamentalists have this down, is why you see the urgency to get people saved. That's where that urgency comes from, is because we know that tomorrow someone could find themselves in this category, reprobate or rejected, because that's what the word means, reprobate concerning the faith. And that's what we're trying to slow down. That's what we're trying to mitigate out there giving the gospel, okay? And of course, we're not going to go there tonight. We've talked about it a million times. Romans 1, 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Does God give some people over to a rejected mind to where they cannot be converted? And the answer is yes. I have never had anyone ever be able to refute this, email, text, face-to-face, nothing. As soon as you bring these things up, like 8 out of 10 times, they'll just start attacking you. Well, you're a Nazi. Well, you hate the Jews. Well, according to Romans 2, I'm a Jew. Okay, well, what are you going to say about that? Okay, so we're going to stop right here, but hopefully this helps, and hopefully you remember these 7 principal negatives, because understanding those and just having that toolbox, it can really back up your soul winning. It can help you if you need to encourage somebody, if people are just kind of stuck, like, I'm not sure, you know, you can give them those things, but you have the deeper understanding now, okay? You know how to refute this silly statement because this statement isn't true. People that wear that hat, people that have that bumper sticker, you know what you don't ever see them doing, or very rarely? You never see them out knocking on doors. You never actually see them trying to get someone saved. You never see them standing up, standing in the gap, and calling out sin for what it is, and calling out the wicked things that are going on in the world today, because they just think, oh, it's bad, but they'll probably get saved. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that Joe Biden will get saved before he dies. We've been praying for him for years. No. Okay? Understand what the Word of God says. But also, you know that there is some truth to that statement, though. Okay? It's just not like how they think. So again, one more time, he saved everyone from their sin debt. He never said everyone was always eligible. If you can remember that, it's going to help you out tremendously. And again, we're not trying to offend people. It's just the natural byproduct of truth. But if you can run into somebody, or you know somebody who will listen, look, and you give them these things, they have no choice but to accept it. It's the Word of God. It's in the Gospel of John, and it's all the way towards the end of the Bible. You should even be able to get a dispensationalist to understand this because it's in the Pauline epistles. So let's stop right there, bow our heads, and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for tonight. I just pray that you would bless our travels this weekend, bring us back safely again on Sunday, and bless the fellowship after the service. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
everyone. For our final song this evening, we will be turning to song number 259. Turn there myself. Song number 259, Jesus Saves. On the first, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. On the second, wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tells the sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean waves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. On the third, sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death an endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. On the last, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. All right, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to hear your word be preached. I ask that you please bless the fellowship after the service and everyone's travels home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.